here in Psalm 119. I'll be able to reference some of these verses. We'll read them. And as we kind of set a thought up, there's a kind of a little side study maybe we want to get into this evening. I think it'd be a help to us, an encouragement to us, a challenge to us to get us to our thought that we'll deal with sometime. All right, I won't be here next Wednesday. Maybe on the weekend we'll deal back with this passage of Scripture. All right? Amen. All right. Let's read here. Verse number 9, the Bible said, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" The Bible answers this question by taking heed thereto according to thy word. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." In other words, David said, your word means more to me than all the money that's in the world. And tonight, if you've got the word of God in your hand, you have a priceless treasure sent directly to you from God out of heaven, and we ought to thank God for it. We ought to put more value in it than we do. Amen. And the psalmist declared, I'm telling you, it means more to me. I have rejoiced in it and all the money. Now, we said maybe David probably is the author of this psalm. I believe that's kind of what we've run with. He's a king. He's got treasures and riches and storehouse. And he said, I rejoice more over this right here than I do all the money in my bank account. Amen. And I'm not preaching on this tonight, but you let some money go missing. We're living in a day where people take stuff out of your bank account before you even know it. And you'll get fighting mad, ready to burn somebody down. When's the last time you couldn't find your Bible and that bothered you? Amen. Maybe we're putting too much value on temporal things and the carnal realm than we are the spiritual realm of God's Word. And I'll preach that when we get to there, all right? Let's just say, Brother Tim, what do you call them things you do? Appetizer. That's an appetizer that, amen, we just gave. The Bible said in verse 15, "I will meditate in thy precepts. I have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Our Heavenly Father, please help us tonight. Make the word of God alive. Make it clear and plain, and may it burn, not just in our midst, but in our heart tonight. We'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This second section of this, I call it a glorious psalm. Others we have referenced have called it the golden psalm or the golden alphabet. As each verse section found in Psalm 119 has above it the heading of one of the Hebrew letters. And we've explained some of that, if you've been here through some of our studies, of how these letters, they have meaning. They're actually names of letters. And each name of each letter has a meaning and a significance and an emblem and a symbol and a picture that is being portrayed through that Hebrew letter. And we've already covered the first 8 verses, which is that first letter, Aleph, which means an ox. And we looked at the word of God is like an ox. And we dealt with that and made some application of that thought and then made our way through the verses. We want to do the same tonight in this second section that has these verses under the heading of one of maybe the most familiar Hebrew letters that there is. It is the letter Beth. And I'll show you why that's so familiar. You'll even be more familiar with it than you think you are through our study and introduction to this section tonight. Beth just simply means house. It means house. And so here we want to reflect on the Word of God being a house, and maybe even more than a house, it being a spiritual home for our spiritual lives. I'm thinking no greater dwelling place that you and I could put our spiritual lives in than that of the Word of God. A lot of people, they go to church and they go to religious organizations and buildings and gatherings, and all of that is fine and well, but what really matters tonight is that our lives are built in and around and on the Word of God. And it is a house for our spiritual dwelling. When we think about a house, I thought about this. I thought about this over the last couple of weeks, preparing our mind, that a house, really in regards to a home, it really is a special place. When we think about where you live, you think about your house tonight. It may not be as big as some. It may not have as many investments or as many trinkets around it or, amen, decorations in it as others, but it's special because it's yours. It's where you dwell. It's something that means something to you, and something you built or something you bought, something you've invested time and effort and money and labor into. And you call that your house. That is your home. And tonight we think about a house as a special place. It's a special place for loving. And we think about our house immediately. Our mind is drawn to those that we live with under that roof that we call family. And a house is a special place for loving. It's a place where we come away from all the rigors of the world and the drama and the fussing and cussing that's found in society today. And in our house, if you have a home, it ought to be a place of loving. Ain't you thankful for the place you have where you can love? And family life and home life and house life ought not be dominated by bickering and fighting and drama. Amen. It ought to be a special place for loving. And I think about the Word of God and it being a spiritual house for our spiritual lives. And we'll see through the course of our study, that's exactly what the Word of God is. It is a dwelling where there is love and there's a communication of love and the expression of love. And thank God we have a place that we can have a relationship in particular to the love of God. It's a house is a special place for loving. It's a special place for living. And you think about your house, it's where you live. You say, that's where I live. And there's an identification with the way you live and how you live and where you live that is associated with that address that is known as your house. And when we think about the Word of God as a house, it ought to be, amen, it ought to be something that reflects the life that we live and the way we live and how we live and the meaning of our life ought to be expressed in our relationship to the Word of God. I think about this, and some of these are indicated even in the text without referencing it tonight, but it's a place of learning. You think about the house maybe you grew up in, and maybe some of you that brings back bad memories. I don't mean to produce any trauma in your heart tonight. But by and large, I'd say most people have some fond memories of things you learned in the house you grew up in. And even if it wasn't a good home, you learned some things not to do because of the house that you was raised in. You learned some things because of your house. David said in the verses we read tonight in regard to this section of the Word of God and his relationship to it, it's a house. Here's what he said, verse 12, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." In other words, while I'm under this umbrella, while I'm under the roof of the Word of God, may my life be instructed in the things that I need to know and the things I need to learn. I think about a house tonight. It's a special place of like-mindedness. My mind, Brother Jerry, it went to what Jesus said in his life. And they were accusing him of doing the things he'd done by the power of Beelzebub, by the power of hell. and the power of the devil, that the miracles he had in casting out devils was nothing more than the power of Satan exhibited through his life. But Jesus said, if I done it by the power of the devil, how could his kingdom even stand? And here's what Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And those that live under the umbrella of a house must have like-mindedness with what is taught and what is honored and what is regarded in that house. And so a house, and particularly a house being a home, is a special place of like-mindedness. Amen. Being on the same page. You know what your relationship with the Word of God will do? It'll get you on the same page with God. It'll get you like-minded with your Savior. And we're living in a generation of people who live on whims and wanderings and feelings and opinions that are so contrary to the mindset that God has laid out in His Word. And if we'll get in this thing and live in it and get like-minded to the Word of God, you'll be amazed how you'll be on the same page with the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. A house that has these things will truly be a home that is a haven of peace and rest. We wonder why our lives are in such turmoil tonight. And I'll show you some things here in a moment, but I believe it's directly connected, Brother Mark, our relationship to the Word of God being the house that we build our spiritual lives in. We've all heard the statement. How many of you have heard the statement, home is where the what? Heart is. Amen. Where's your heart in regard to the Word of God? Could it be tonight that you want nothing to do with this and building your life on this because your heart ain't in it? It's amazing in these verses of Scripture that twice David references, Brother Tim, his heart. If I could point it out to you, he said in verse number 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee, speaking to God. God, I have sought you with my whole heart. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so I tell you what I think David is saying. David is saying, my heart is in the Word of God, and my heart is after the Word of God. And so I have no problem, amen, I have no problem building my life in this house of the Word of God, because home is where the heart is. And so many tonight, so many even in the umbrella of the family of God, and particularly in the realms of religion, their heart's out there somewhere in the world. And their heart is set on so many other things tonight. And they wonder why they have no peace. And they wonder why their life has no rest. And they wonder why their life has no solid foundation. My friend, you're going to have to learn, if you're a child of God, amen, to get your heart in the Word of God, amen, and let it be a spiritual home for your life. Now, here's what I want to do tonight. It'll get us to our thought, believe it or not. And we're going to kind of think about this word, this Hebrew word, Hebrew letter, Beth. When we think about this second Hebrew letter, we're reminded. Now, you wouldn't know the number, but you can identify. I'll go ahead and give you the number. That we're reminded of 55 names and places that are in the Bible that are prefixed by this representation, the Hebrew letter Beth. For instance, tonight we could talk about Bethel, and I will, and Bethlehem. And in the New Testament, we would think about the town that we referenced even on Sunday morning in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus, where he would frequent often, Sissy, which was Bethany. And so all through the Word of God, 55 names and places have the prefix of this second Hebrew letter, Beth, indicating the house And then it is followed by a surname to indicate what kind of house or what is represented in that house. And so with Beth indicating house as a depiction of God's word, I want to walk you through. I can't go through all 55. Y'all understand that? Maybe we would at some point in time. But I began to sit down and look up some of these places with Beth in it, understanding it, that indicates house, God's word like a house, and then the surname added to the end of that prefix to find out what do we find in God's house, God's word is a house. Think about the first one, maybe the most familiar in the Old Testament. And these references, we could give many for most of them. I'm just giving you the first mention of this name and place. Genesis 12:8 deals with Bethel. Bethel means what? House, Beth house. But Jack, Bethel means house of God. House of God. Here's what I wrote down, Brother Mike. In the Bible, God's word as a house, you know what you'll find? You'll find God in the Bible. Amen. You'll find God in the Bible. Somebody said, I'm trying to find God. Amen. You ain't going to find him in your whims. You're not going to find him in your, amen, finger, amen, wet finger in the wind. Amen. You're going to have to get your life in the Word of God. And if you ever have found God, and if you're ever going to find God, you'll find him in the Word of God. Amen. That's where God lives. We live in a generation, amen, that operates in the realm, I found God in this, and God is in what I'm doing, and God is in my plans, and all their whims, and all their doings, and all their plans, and all their steps are outside of the Word of God. My friend, God's word is like a house, and it's like Bethel. That's where God dwells. Do you need to find God tonight? For whatever reason you need to find him, guess what? You'll find him always at home. Amen. You'll find God in the Bible. Bethlehem. If Bethel's not the most familiar, then surely Bethlehem would be the most familiar Beth place there is in the Word of God. You'll be introduced to it in Genesis 35, and I'm having a little hard time reading my scratch. I believe it's verse 19, and that's the first mention of Bethlehem. Bethlehem means the house of bread. We're most familiar with it, maybe really two places, one from the Old Testament, one from the New. Bethlehem in the days of the book of Ruth, and how that there was a famine hit Bethlehem, Judah, and there was a family that left Bethlehem and made their sojourning down to the place of Moab. And Moab, they lived in Moab. They barely survived in Moab. They had famine in Moab, same as they did Bethlehem. For whatever reason, they left the house of bread, only to come back when God had visited Bethlehem again and giving his people bread. Naomi, the mother of that family, came back with her daughter-in-law, who had been found in Moab, a Moabite herself, and came back to Bethlehem that God had blessed again with bread, the house of bread. And then we think about where our Savior was born. And Jesus was born where? He was born in Bethlehem. And in a manger setting in the backside of Bethlehem. Not in a house, not in a palace for sure, not even in a motel room. Amen, but born in a manger, laid in a manger, born in a stable, in the house of bread. Amen, I think about what Jesus said and declared of himself many, many years later as a grown man. He said, I am the bread of life. Amen, where else would the bread of life have been born and delivered to? Amen, is born right on time in Bethlehem, the house of bread. So think about that in its connection to the Word of God. You know what you'll find in the Word of God? You'll find spiritual sustenance. Amen. You'll find Jesus in the Word of God. You'll find him to be that satisfies every hunger that your soul could ever have. Amen. You ain't going to find it down at the ball field, and you ain't going to find it in Neyland Stadium. Amen. I know Rocky Top put a goosebump on you, but it won't feed your soul. Amen. Your soul's only going to be fed by, amen, the bread that you find in the Word of God. Boy, I'm about to mess up and start preaching. Amen. Here's a place that'll be unfamiliar with you, but you'll read about it in Joshua 15:59. And it's the name and place known as Bethamoth. Bethamoth means house of replies. I about had a shout and spell thinking on that and the connections we're making at Bethamoth, house of replies. You know what you'll find in the Word of God? Hey man, if you'll get the house of the Word of God, what you'll find in the Bible is you'll find God speaking. Hey man, you'll find God's got a word for you. You'll find all the questions you had, God's got an answer to. All the things you've been wondering about, God has a reply for. All the things going on in our crazy world, I mean, they've lost their ever-loving mind. To the point sometimes we scratch our head and we say, Lord, what's the answer for all of this? And I'll tell you tonight, if you'll get in the house of the Word of God, amen, God has a reply, God has an answer, God has a word, and God is still speaking tonight in His Word. Amen. He ain't speaking in dreams and visions. He ain't speaking in your foolishness. He ain't speaking in your backsliding. He ain't speaking in your wandering away. He speaks from His house. Amen. The house of the Word of God. Bethamoth. Let me give you another one. Joshua 13:27. Betharam. Betharam. You've not, amen, ain't no Betharam, Tennessee tonight. Amen, that I know of. Anybody know where Betharam is? Amen, somewhere on the other side of the pond in Israel. Betharam means house of heights. You know what you'll find in the Bible? You know what you'll find in the Word of God? You'll find some higher ground. Amen, you'll find some higher ground. Let's be honest. Amen, this world's on a downward spiral to hell. And the culture, even in America tonight, and it's sadly to say, in many churches and spiritual lives tonight, are lived on a very, very low plane. But you know what happens when you get in the Word of God? Amen, you'll find a house of heights. Amen, you'll find some higher ground. You'll find a heavenly and upward trajectory. Amen, Bethlehem, the house of heights. I've already referenced this one, but Bethany, this is in the New Testament. And let me connect this one with another one found in the Old Testament in Nehemiah 3:14. Bethany means house of dates and figs. Amen, I think that's 21:17. I can't read my writing, but Nehemiah 3:18 is an Old Testament place called Beth-Hakkerem. Beth-Hakkerem means the house of the vineyard. And so house of the vineyard, house of dates, house of figs. You know what you'll find in the Word of God? Amen, you'll find a fruitful life. You'll find a fruitful life. Amen, and that's what God saved us to have. Amen, when He sowed the gospel in our life when we were lost and undone, the gospel seed fell on our life. And the Holy Ghost, through conviction, watered that seed. And my friend, the Holy Ghost brought it up. And it sprang forth new life into you and I. You remember the parable of the sower? Amen. The seed that falls on the good ground that springs up. And what's the difference in that and the other three soils of the wayside and the stony ground and that place of the thorny ground, amen, versus the good ground? The difference is that there was a fruitfulness that did remain. There was a fruitfulness that was sustained. Amen. How does that come to pass? Amen. It comes to pass through our relationship with the Word of God. Let it be tonight that you don't have any fruits. You're a fruitless fig tree. That we'll study on Sunday that Christ cursed, and there is no spiritual fruit that is in you. There's nothing glorifying to God that springs up out of your life because you have no relationship to the house of the Word of God. Amen. That's good preaching tonight. Am I making any sense? Amen. I hope so. I like this place. Amen. In John, the Gospel of John 5 in verse number 2. There is a place in the New Testament known as Bethesda. Bethesda simply means house of kindness. You may need to hold my mule, Brother Riley, while I run around the outside of the building. You know what Bethesda means? Amen, it means house of kindness. You know what you'll find in the Word of God? Are y'all ready for this? I don't know if y'all understand this as excited as you are tonight. Amen. You know what you'll find in the Bible? You'll find that God cares. I'm glad tonight there's a place I can get to. Amen. There's a place I can walk around in. There's a place I can eat out of. Amen. There's a place, thank God, I can drink from. Amen. Where I find that God's kindness and God's care is abundant to me. I don't know that off a feeling tonight. I don't know that off of some emotion tonight. I know that because I found it in the Word of God. And God cares about me. And God is kind toward me. And God loves me immeasurably. I find that in the Word of God. So many tonight feel like no one cares. My advice is get in the Bible. Amen. And you'll find there's one in heaven cares tonight. There are people who feel so unloved tonight. My advice to you tonight is pick the book up and read it again. Amen. Cover to cover, page to page, chapter to chapter. Amen. From one verse to the next, this is the thing. And God loves you, God cares, God is invested in you, and thank God tonight, amen, we find that in Beth, we find that in Bethesda, and the Word of God is, amen, the house where God communicates that He cares. Amen. Here's another one, Joshua 15:58. Here's the name of the place, Bethzur. Beth and then three letters Z-U-R, Bethzur. And it means, Brother A.L., house of the rock. You know what you'll find in the Bible tonight? You'll find a solid foundation. Amen. Jesus taught this in the New Testament when He taught about a wise man and a foolish man. How both the wise man and the foolish man both are in the house building business. Jesus said the wise man, amen, when he got ready to build a house, the Bible said, Brother Joe, he digged deep. And he digged deep enough that he found a rock. He found a solid foundation. And when he began to build his house, that house was anchored into that rock that he had digged down deep to find. And he built that house and he built it. And he built it. We're not told how high he built it. We're told how deep he built it. Amen. We're not told about all the things that he brought in. We don't know if he had a ring doorbell on the front door. We don't know if he had a chandelier in the dining room. We don't know if he had the latest refrigerator and stove that had smart technology in it at all. We don't know all that was in there, but we know this. It was built upon a rock. Jesus said that the foolish man, what did he do? He just went out and he didn't count. Amen. The foundation will be all that important. And so he built him a house upon the sand. And he built a house. And my friend, I'm sure it was as immaculate and as wonderful as his dreams and maybe his finances would have afforded him to build. And he built it. And there it was, both houses side by side, done and completed. And both men on move-in day, amen, think, I have finally got a house. And here's the issue that was in hand. Jesus said, and all of a sudden the winds began to blow, and the rains began to fall. And the more the wind blew and the rain fell, the floods began to rise. And Jesus said, the wise man that built his house on the rock, that my friend, that house endured and stood. Amen, the battering of the winds. Amen, it was able to hold up under the rains. Amen, it had things hitting the sides of it, things hitting the top of it. And when the floods began to rise, it was being attacked from every side. Jesus said, as great as the storm was, that house made it. And the wise man lived to tell about it, because his house was built on a rock. But the foolish man that built his house on the sand, amen, all of a sudden the sand begins to wash away. And all of a sudden what is anchored in begins to be blown to and fro. And when the floods began to rise, here's what Jesus said about the foolish man's house. Great was the fall of it. Jesus explained the wise man and the foolish man. Here's what he said. He said, the wise man is the man who heareth these sayings of mine, who hears my word and does it. That's the man who will stand the floods and the storms of life. You know what you'll find in the Bible? Some of y'all think you know better than God knows. You think you know better than God knows. You just, the foundation ain't all that important. And so you just gonna build it on a whim. You gonna build it on the sands of this world. Amen. And I'm telling you, me and Julie, we was talking about some things last night. Dreams she has and things she has in mind to do. And it blessed my daddy's heart that she even talked to me. Somebody say amen. Amen. Y'all remember having teenagers wondering, will they ever talk to me? Amen. She talked to me last night. We began to talk about some things. We was dreaming together and talking about it. Amen, there was a few things that I felt like I needed to tell her. One of the things I told her, I said, sweetheart, everybody thinks they got some new outlook on life and living in this world, but there's nothing new under the sun. Amen, it's the same old things in a brand new packaging. Amen. And I told her, I said, I'm not old. And I told her that about how many times? That's 12 times. I said, I ain't old. But I've been living around long enough, amen, to be able to tell you there's some things people began to do and ways people began to live that, my friend, they'd be the first one to get by building on sand and their life not crumble. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, in Beth, in the house of the Word of God, amen, you will find tonight a house of the rock, amen, a solid foundation. And when, listen, storms are coming to everybody, and life's going to get hard on everybody. I'm telling you, child of God, I'm telling you that is here tonight. Amen. Those that are watching the live stream, I'm telling you, you better build your life, amen, in the house and the Word of God. It's a solid foundation to build it upon. Amen. Amen. So we think about a house tonight. Amen. Is that right? Amen. The psalmist is dealing with the Word of God as a house. You know what a house is for? A house is for dwelling. Amen. Amen. Look what he said in verse 10. Let me give you my thought and I'll give you a couple more things. I'm done. Amen. Maybe done by 8 o'clock. Somebody say amen right there. Notice what he said in verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Are you seeking God tonight? Amen. The only way to truly seek the Lord, and you find it in the second half of this verse, is through His Word. You can tell me all day long you're seeking God, but if you're not in His Word, you are not seeking God, and you surely are not going to find God. Here's what the psalmist said, "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Is everybody still with me? I'm almost done. A house is for dwelling. A house is for living in. A house is a place of safety and a haven of rest. But here the psalm is giving consideration, the Word of God being a Beth to his life, a house to his life. And what he desires more than anything in these verses is, "Lord, help to keep me from wandering from the house. Help me to keep from wandering from the house." I wonder tonight, here's what I'm wondering through the day today. I wonder how different the prodigal story would have been if he would have prayed this prayer in Luke chapter 15. "Let me not wander," but the younger son wandered. He wandered right out of his daddy's house with his daddy's living, with all the investments that had been made, with no consideration of where he was going. And I submit to you, what got the prodigal in trouble is that he wandered from the house. I understand, we're going through this in our own family, and it's kind of, amen, amazing that I'm even preaching on this tonight. Amen. Where your children, they grow up, they get to an age, guess what? They're supposed to leave home. Amen. I don't believe in this patriarchal authority garbage. Amen. I don't believe in that. Amen. There comes a time, young men, young ladies are supposed to be raised. All my children know if they don't want to leave, they don't have to leave. And we're working on some deals with Julie right now to never leave. Amen. I've offered everything, trips to Hawaii, amen. Not that I'm going, but I send her mama with her, amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. You want to go to, amen, the Middle East and dodge bombs, y'all have right after it, and I've offered, amen, everything. Amen. We're going through some of that. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about leaving home in the right way. What I am warning of tonight is the idea of wandering. It's one thing to wander from a home and a house and a place of dwelling. Wandering, one preacher said, wandering, that's what women do when they get in the mall and what men do around Bass Pro. Somebody help me now. Amen. They'll come up to me at Bass Pro and say, "Can I help you? You need any help?" No, what I tell them is I'm just looking around. What I ought to tell them is I'm just wandering. Amen. This rack to that rack to this aisle to that gun to this bow to, amen. You know what I'm doing? Just aimlessly going about. David said, "Lord, I need your help. I need to seek you that my life would never wander from thy commandments." From thy commandments, the idea of wandering. Let me lay this out and we're done this evening. Wander means simply to transgress. The psalmist is saying, I don't want to transgress. I don't want to get outside of the commandments and the law of God. I don't want my life to wind up in trouble with the Lord because I was wandering. I was transgressing. The word wander can mean to stray or to err. Just simply as a sheep. And there's an element of this that we understand that all of humanity is born lost. We're all born as sheep going astray. Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. They have turned everyone to his own way. That's why Jesus had to come from heaven. Amen, that he might, amen, have laid on himself our sin and our wandering and our straying and our transgression. Amen, that's why he would communicate again in Luke 15 of the shepherd that had 100 sheep and one went astray. And then he would leave the 99 and go find the one and bring the one back in rejoicing, having saved that sheep from destruction. And I tell you tonight that we have all erred, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, we have erred. We were born erring. We were born into sin. Amen. Born wandering. We weren't born headed to God. We was born running from God as quick as we could. Amen. And so it took a Savior to deliver us from our error. Amen. Then there is the application of it, that even in our spiritual lives as saved people, though we're saved, we ought to have a concern about straying and erring from the faith. The word wander means to, I thought this was interesting, means to reel in intoxication. It has with it the idea which is condemned in the Word of God of drunkenness. That David said, can I put it this way? I don't want to get drunk on sin. Lord, help me not to wander. Help me not sip at the bar of evil and transgression and take it in and become intoxicated, that my life would reel and I would stumble around because of what I let have control of my mind and my faculties. Amen. There's a lot of people tonight, they ain't ever tasted booze, but my friend, their life, amen, is intoxicated on sin tonight. And they're reeling and they're stumbling and they're in trouble tonight because they have wandered from what they've been taught from the Word of God. The word wander, everybody okay? I know this a lot, but it's pretty good, ain't it? The word wander, sissy, the word wander means to enrapture. I thought that was an interesting word. I don't use that in my vocabulary, to enrapture. To be enraptured. So I had to define my word of definition. You know what the word enraptured means or implies? It means this. Let me get it right. It means to be transported with pleasure. To be transported with pleasure. I got news for you tonight. God ain't interested in your fleshly pleasure. Wandering, spiritual wandering from the spiritual house in the Word of God is done when men and women and young people, my friend, began to be moved and transported and walked around through, amen, the pleasures of their flesh one by one in disregard for what God has said in the house. Amen. They do it in all sorts of ways. There's so many pleasures in this world. There are pleasures in sin, but you mark it down. Every one of you young people, every one of you old people, every one of us, amen, I don't know what I am. What am I? Midlife crisis people. Amen. You know what we all better be weary of, warned of tonight? Living our life in that pleasure of sin that's just for a season. Amen. I got news for you. Sleeping around still wrong if you ain't married. Shacking still wrong if you ain't, amen, willing to make a commitment and get married is still wrong. Amen. Drunkenness is still sin. Amen. Going down the dance halls and the country music concerts and carrying on in all that kind of vile trash of promotion of flesh is still wrong. Still wrong. David said, God, I need your help and the help of the Holy Ghost to keep me from doing that. Now, it'd be real easy for us tonight to cast stones at others that have wandered. But I got news for you. Brother Philbeck said, saved flesh can do anything lost flesh can do. The flesh, that which is born to flesh is flesh. Amen. When you got saved, your flesh didn't change at all. It's the same old thing that if you let it wander, it's going to wander. Why is it so quiet in here? I figured we'd have shouting and babies pitching. And y'all do agree with that, don't you? That's the Bible. That's what the Bible said. Now, Christians are Bible people, right? We don't live our life trying to be all caught up in pleasure. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life. Just so long as that pleasure you're seeking is not sinful against what God has said from the house. Amen. So here's what I want to preach from. I said all that. I preached all that for 42 minutes to give you this thought. Here's what we're going to look at. Don't wander too far from home. You better take wandering very serious. I don't know why we're getting, there's a serious spirit in here right now. I don't know what that's all about, but I'm going to tell you, don't wander too far from home. God's Word has the answers. God's Word knows better than your fleshly feelings. God's Word knows better than your opinions. You may not even know what all's in God's Word, but I'm going to tell you, God's Word has the answers. Tonight, don't wander too far from home. To wander from the dwelling of God's Word leads to some other houses. Can I give you three of them? I give you eight Beth places in the Word of God that are connected to God in some form or fashion. Can I give you three? Would that be okay? I know I said, I didn't say we would be done at eight. I said there's a chance, Sam. There's a chance. And y'all didn't believe it when I said it, so don't look surprised. Can I give you three? I'm not going to elaborate on them. You'll read about in Joshua 13:17. This is a long name. I don't know who named this place, but they evidently had it right. It's the name Beth Baal Meon. Beth Baal Meon. You know what Beth Baal Meon means? Means the house of Baal's habitation. It's where the devil's at. Bethel, the house of God, that's where God dwells, God lives. You'll find God in His Word. But if you wander from God's Word, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find an affinity with the devil. The devil is the citizen of the far country that the prodigal met when he wandered too far from home. You know where the citizen of the far country carried the prodigal? The young man who had everything back at the house, had everything that he needed. You know what he found? When he wandered too far from the house, he found the citizen of the far country. And the citizen of the far country took in the bar rooms. The citizen of the far country took in the bed of fornication. The citizen of the far country took in the place of riotous living. Took him to the pool halls and the dance floors and the concerts. And then when he let him have a little bit of joy and all that and sucked every bit of life out of him, he threw him down in a hog pen. That's what you'll find if you wander from the book. Beth Baal Meon. Number two, Beth Avon. Beth Avon, you know what it means? You'll read about it in Joshua 7:2, means the house of vanities. You wander from God's Word. You wander from the house of God's Word. You know what you'll find? You'll find what Solomon wrote, an entire book that's in your King James Bible, known as Ecclesiastes, in which he determined there's no joy in women. There's no joy in wine. There's no joy in wealth. None of it satisfies. Here's what he said. over and over. Vanity of vanities. All that is vanity. There's joy in it in the moment. When you wake up, you don't know what you done the night before and who you done it with. That's what you get when you wander from God's Word. Amen. Boy, this thing's turned into revival preaching, ain't it? I'm warming her up for Brother Wells. Amen. I hope he come through and he'll just rear back and preach and y'all be going, is that all? That's how y'all looked at me 11 years ago. Is that all you got? I hope when he comes here next month, y'all look at him and go, that all you got, Brother Wells? You getting soft in your old age. Y'all listening? Vanity's what you find. Number three, I'm done. What you'll find if you wander from the house of God's Word is Bethuel. Bethel meant house of God, but if you put a little U after the Beth, Bethuel, gives it a whole different meaning, and it means a house destroyed of God. You know what every wanderer has ever found? Eventually, I don't care what they put on the Facebook, the social media, everything's great, everything's fine, everything's wonderful. I'm telling you tonight, I know what I'm talking about. Every person that's ever wandered from that book, their life ends in destruction. You'll destroy your name. You'll destroy your testimony. You'll live with regrets. And you may even come back. Thank God the prodigal found the path home. He found the kisses of the Father upon his neck. He found a fatted calf. He found a ring on his finger. He found a robe on his shoulders. And LeVon Boatner said he found some Reeboks on his feet. He got all the way back. But I promise you, there's some nights he was dozing off, getting ready to go to sleep at night. He had some regret and he had some shame and he had a pile of burden on his shoulders that he had to live the rest of his life with. And I bet he said something like this, "Sure wish I wouldn't have wandered." I know it's Wednesday. I thought we'd bust pews up out the ground and shout. This thing's gone revival meeting. Don't wander too far from home. Everybody get your church hymnal for a minute. Everybody good? Look at page 153. This old song, I was trying to get Riley to sing it, and we just come to the conclusion we ain't sung it in so long, but we're going to break her out. 153, Brother Jerry, you know that one, don't you? Lord, I'm coming home. Listen this. I've wandered far away from God. You ever been there? I have. See what I'm preaching you tonight? You say, man, you're stern. You're serious about it. You know why? Because I've been there. And as a pastor, I get a front row seat to watch the lives of those who have been here. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Verse 2, I've wasted many precious years. I now repent with bitter tears. I'm tired of sin and straying. Lord, I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. My soul is sick, my heart is sore, my strength renew, my hope restore. My only hope, my only plea is that Jesus died and died for me. Lord, I'm coming home. I need his cleansing blood. I know now I'm coming home. Oh, wash me whiter than the snow. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home. The chorus said, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Now I'm coming home. It's another old song, Brother Joe, you'd know this one, that said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. What I've preached to you tonight, please don't get mad about. There is something on the inside of us that if we're honest, all of us have to say, in my flesh, I'm prone to do just that. But Lord, if you would help me and help me not to wander too far from home, it'd be all right if I'm just around the house. Amen. You go on a long trip, Brother Jack. We went to Montana, me and Miss Kate. I'll tell you, at first, well, we flew Monday and we drove. It was pretty good. Day number two, Tuesday, was an unbelievable day. We seen things I've never seen in God's creation ever. We had a good time, but you know, about Friday, I just want to be back home. I just want to be back home. There's something about being where you're supposed to be. Being where you're supposed to be. I didn't intend on it yet, has got tonight. God sent somebody, maybe a few somebody's a word tonight. Lord, don't let me wander too far from home. Amen. However far you wander, however far you got to walk back. That prodigal had to walk every step. Every step he took to the far country, he had to walk every step back. Amen. Don't wander too far from home. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you tonight, Lord, for how it works in us. Lord, it has built our life. Lord, we've been able to build it around the commandments of the Lord. And as we've studied tonight and, Lord, made our way to the point, Lord, we need your help in this ungodly world, living in this ungodly flesh that is prone to wander. Lord, please help us. Help us not to wander. Help us, Lord, tonight, Lord, to overcome those things that we're so prone to do. Lord, I pray tonight, if there's one, is, Lord, we sense tonight in and of ourselves, Lord, just preaching. Lord, have no clue who you are speaking to tonight. Lord, it may be, Lord, it may not be such a serious thing, but Lord, it is a serious thing. Lord, maybe somebody's just begun, Lord, to veer. Just begun to reel. Just begun to take a step astray. Lord, tonight you've sent a word, Lord, to help cleanse their way. Lord, I pray this evening, may the word do its work. Lord, in each of us. Lord, I'm not looking around. Lord, I'm looking within. Lord, my own life needs help tonight. And I pray this evening, Lord, don't let us wander too far from home. Thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I appreciate your attention. All right.